Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to State of the Union with Maddie and Alexis. This was recorded in July and we're putting it out now because we both have bad executive functioning. Please enjoy and listen, rate, review, tell your friends so you're ready for next year's episode. Enjoy!
Hello.
What's up, fuckers? Welcome to State of the Union with Maddie and Alexis, our once a year podcast that we've never done before.
Mm-hmm. We're really happy to have y'all.
We're
going to do this once a year for the rest of our lives. So that could hopefully be when we're 80. That's the goal. Maybe 120. But for now, it's now.
We thought a weekly podcast would be too much of a commitment for us. So we decided to do the rest of our lives.
It's just we've never seen anyone do a podcast once a year because you can, of course, garner no audience or real you know, ads or real fandom if you do it once a year.
It's
sort of like sticking it to the man. Yeah. It's inverse podcasting. And it's really just so we can, you know, people show their children home videos.
Yeah.
We're going to make all of our families at the cookouts listen to this on a loop.
Gather around.
The episode from 2024.
Real fans will be like, oh, 2026 was the best year. That's when they really found their footing.
Totally.
Of course, we are also risking a massive friendship cataclysm. And I think that if that happens, we bring it to the pod. Do you know what I mean? We go 8 months, 6 months without talking, wait it out.
I have a lot of things pent up I'm going to bring in today.
So. Remember a red table style situation.
You'd be like Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah. Did I tell you that I was doing that for a bit where I was saying things need to be brought to the red table?
No, but I don't think they're like confrontational.
Yeah, family. That's the whole point.
Oh.
Isn't that not the whole point? It's like difficult conversation. Bring it to the red table.
Oh, I thought it was just like women chatting. Oh, you know what I mean?
You thought it was like the red tent.
I thought it was like grandma, mom, daughter.
I don't even think they were involved.
You're joking. It was Jada Pinkett Smith, her mom, and her daughter. The three of them. Are we talking about the same show? And then she had Will Smith on. She was like, "How does it feel that I cheated on you with our kid's best friend?"
Not a good impression of Jada Pinkett Smith. Also,
that was a soulful impression. No, it was a generational conversation for women everywhere. That's what I thought it was. I've never listened to it.
Yeah, as two people have never watched or listened to it, we should spend the rest of the podcast trying to figure out what we think it is.
All I remember is the episode where she was like confronting her infidelity, which is crazy. Everyone's doing that now.
Yeah.
I started this conversation earlier. Uh-huh. There's a church, a big church called Hillsong Global Church. Do you know about this? Carl Lentz cheated on his wife. Hillsong's the biggest church in the world, started in Australia, here. Carl Lentz. Beep. Beep, beep.
Oh, we might censor ourselves later if we don't like what we said.
Yeah, so beep, beep, cheated on his wife.
Yeah.
Carl Lentz.
We don't say beep, say it, and then we'll beep it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He cheated on his wife. It was very public, and Carl Lentz was the pastor in Los Angeles, and I never went there. I had friends that did. Big, 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 big mega church, right? Mm-hmm. Cheated on his wife. Was this huge scandal. Cheated on his wife with, like, this sort of weird, almost grifter, prostitute-seeming woman who was on Good Morning America.
Not a grifter-type prostitute.
Well, I'll show you after the clip.
Okay,
after.
Sex work is real work, but some of them are grifters.
Not if it's infidelity.
That's what we're learning. That's most of the sex work.
No, it's true. But she's on his wife, right?
Yeah.
Huge pastor of this church. She's on his wife. And, like, you know, no one's exempt. I get it. Like, imperfect people. She goes on Good Morning America, this grifter, and it's this terrible interview. It's sort of the one, remember the one where the woman and the old guy, and she was like, I'm his bunny fluffle or whatever. What did she say?
When she said he was his left-hand arm or whatever,
girl? Yes. It was just like that, except somehow worse. Mm. The point of the story was that, then everything settles. Everyone's like, is your wife going to leave you? Like, what's going to happen to the church? He steps down from being a pastor. His family's in turmoil. All of his kids are like, you beep, beep, suck. You fucking suck.
Right.
And now I just was on Instagram yesterday. I'm scrolling. And they're having a roundtable podcast with the whole family.
Whoa.
And Carl Lentz is asking his children, like, did your, like, view of, like, marriage and, like, love change? And, like, the wife is talking, like, they're all talking about, like, this huge affair at the table and, like, monetizing it. It felt very contrived and very weird.
His sponsor.
And, like, his daughters are, like, yeah, it's Celsius official. No.
Celsius presents.
It's Celsius and Gatorade. It was just weird. I'm like, can we not always,
not everything's content, perhaps.
You know, and the wife is in tears, and I'm like, if I'm the sound guy, I'm like, get me the hell out of here. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That was throwing the boom.
Well, this is a good story also to introduce, I think, what is a central part of this podcast, which is that you and I are unlikely friends, which is also why
I've never agreed with this statement ever, but go ahead.
We are. I mean, it is like when you see a pig and a tiger. I'm not going to say who's who, but we come from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And that's why I find our friendship interesting and worth celebrating every single year.
Maddie's really progressive, and she thinks it's funny to say that I'm not progressive.
No, I think you are. Well, but I'm a leftist from Canada who was raised, thank you, who was raised sort of, my mom doesn't like when I say this, but what I think is witchcraft was a big way of how we
okay, Maddie's we never said this problems. Till Maddie's never ever said this to me until this exact moment. Are you a Wiccan?
No, Wiccan, because because Wiccan is Christian.
Shout out to Hillsong.
We're Indian, me and my mom, but we've come to what I consider a pretty white version of spirituality, which is primarily, you know, tarot card, horoscope,
you
crystals in pocket.
You think it's like Anglican?
I don't think it's Anglican, but I think white people love it.
Really?
White people love it. Do you not agree with that?
I don't think it's like predominantly white. It doesn't feel very white to me, but who am I? You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm redneck, which doesn't count as white, so.
Yes, it does.
It is really white. I guess we're unlikely friends.
Okay, but you are. Your background is.
Oh, I'm from Texas, and I grew up. I was going to say alt-right. I did not grow up alt-right. If my dad was in the room, he would say, Alexis, tell them, you know, you believe in big people and small government. You know, I believe in big people, small government. And that is
I thought you were going to say God.
Oh, yeah. Deeply Christian to this day. Grew up very Christian. Grew up very, not religious in the classical sense. Like, you know, I was, you know, beat with a yardstick if I didn't do my homework or something. That's a Catholic school reference. Mm. You know, like not like religious in that sense, but we went to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. I loved, if anyone out there is a summer camp kid, 12 years strong. Love summer camp. Grew up in the country as well. I spent a lot of summers in East Texas. Mm-hmm. So just like redneck city. I'm from Dallas though. I want to get that out of the way. Sure. At the end of the day, I'm a city girl. Shout out to them.
Right. And then we meet in Los Angeles and bond over, you know, loving a freaking John Early's stand-up special.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we meet in Los Angeles under trying times.
Yeah, I guess.
In which our mutual friend had a failed situationship.
Yeah.
We were both consoling him.
And
we were both kind of like, oh my God, you know? I don't know if you felt that way.
I think that whenever anyone's getting over someone, of course, you're like, I wish this would happen faster. But it can't, and it won't.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't.
Yeah.
It is so weird how people have to talk about
If I don't talk about it, they're crazy. You know what I mean? That's weird.
I guess you're right. I wish I would stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Maddie's
also full circle. We met consoling our friend going through a failed situationship. Well, Maddie had a relationship. I'm not going to call it a situationship.
I've been dating.
Maddie's been dating.
We're both single.
Yeah.
That's something to check in on for this one. Maybe by next year. Well, we
2025.
Say ring by spring.
You know what? I resent the idea that, like, do you think by, I don't know why 30 is such a marker for young women everywhere, that it's like 30 you have to have X, Y, and Z. I don't know where that comes from. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I know so many women who want to have a baby by 30, and I'm like, whoa. Unless it's just, of course, the fertility issue, which I totally understand. But I'm just like, I just feel a lot of pressure for 30, and I don't know. I'm like kind of trying to dodge that and figure out where that's coming from. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
It's also a nice round number.
I mean, by 30, like, if I'm not, like, close. Yeah, and then I'm like, if I'm not close to being married, what the fuck?
I'm gonna kill myself.
What the beep? And it's like, and yeah, then, yeah.
It does feel extremely.
There's no right way to do things.
Speaking of being progressive, it seems not at all progressive to be like, well, the only thing that matters is relationship.com. But I have a wonderful life. I have a wonderful career. I have wonderful friends. And yet, who's on Pinterest every night? Boarding.
Would be. I'm gonna be honest. I don't have a Pinterest account, and that's actually the ultimate distinguisher between.
Yeah, that's.
Maddie and
no, this is another.
I don't
thing.
Know what Pinterest is really. I mean, I know what it is. I think it's a really great idea.
But you don't really care for clothing, hair, makeup.
No.
And I don't know how to cook.
I'm more of a man, and Maddie's just more of a woman. I would say.
Yeah, but like a bad. Oh, like an annoying woman.
Yeah.
Who can't help much.
I wouldn't call her annoying. I was going to say a really interesting story, and it's left me. So if we can go back to what we were talking about. It's a crazy story, but now I can't remember.
About Ring by Spring?
Ring by Spring, and...
I don't feel bad about myself because I'm single, because I think a lot of people are in bad relationships, and I think it's basically being in credit card debt. I'm like, you have to climb out of that and then break up, and I'm neutral. Do you know what I mean?
Blink twice if you're in an unhappy relationship. Millions of listeners everywhere just blink. Do you know what I mean?
I've never been in an unhappy relationship. No, I have, but
most people I know that I'm close with that are in relationships, I'm like, please cut it off. You know what I mean? And by that I mean like a leg or something. Like do something drastic to like not maybe be in this. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But maybe I'm wrong, because if I view most relationships like that, that might be a problem. There are some really good ones. I have really good points of reference, but most people ages 28 to 35 that I know that are like dating, that don't seem to be what I want to be doing. You know what I mean?
But then also it's like, that's why you're not dating them. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Because every relationship is going to look different.
Dating in New York seems quite weird also. I mean, dating, I've seen clips on Reels of, you know, influencers saying dating in LA is the worst thing imaginable. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend that for anyone. And I'm like, I don't know if New York's any better though. You know what I mean? And I don't want to pin this. I really want to avoid pinning the cities against each other, because I don't think they're comparable. They're both so lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But dating here, I don't know. It just seems like everything's so much harder here. And so I would imagine a relationship would fall into that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. imagine even living like far away like that, like living, like if you were dating a guy in Venice, that would suck kind of, or if you were living in Echo Park and dating a guy in Venice, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, that would be impossible. Like, Jana lives in the Upper West Side. My friend Jana, if Jana's listening. Live call from Jana. She lives in the Upper West Side and her boyfriend lives in Crown Heights. Mm. So you can imagine, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it's not a big deal. You take an hour, you love them, but I'm just like, even the guy scene here, I haven't quite figured out yet. I'm like, what are they up to? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And in that, I have a crazy story from the Met.
Hit me.
And I tell you about it when I saw the Temple of Dendor and started sobbing.
Yeah, you told me that.
And then I said the thing about marriage.
Which was?
Okay. Let me back it up really quick. I'll make this short and sweet. My good friend Andrew Shelton was recently married to his husband, right? They live in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in town a few months ago. Andrew's like, let's go to the Met. You know, I have tickets to the Met. Let's go to the Met. He has the resident, you know, he's a resident, whatever. I say, okay. For some reason before the Met, which is already immersive enough, mm-hmm. I got too stoned to function. Okay. So I'm with Ivana and Logan, and we're on Thompson at Leon's Bagels near the Bowery. And I'm like, let's smoke this joint and we'll all go to get together and then y'all get on the train, whatever. We smoke the joint and it's one of the baby ones. Disclaimer, don't touch those ever, okay? It's the baby ones. And so I'm smoking it kind of like a cigarette, because I'm in my head picturing that it's like a normal joint.
Mm-hmm.
Yvonne and Logan get really freaked out immediately. They get really high and they're like, oh, we have to go home. And also being underground stoned is not fit for anyone. So they're like, I gotta go home. And I'm like, okay, girls, like, you're being crazy. Like, okay. And then I get really high, okay? And then I'm like, I still gotta go to the Met. I said I'd go to the Met. But I can't even put one foot in front of the other, but I gotta go. I somehow get to the Met. I have no memory of a lot of this. Stone out of my mind, I get to the Met, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I go inside. I tell Andrew, I'm like, I'm very high. Good to see you. We walk around the Met. It's awesome. We go into the Temple of Dendor. And I'm also so stoned that I'm having a lot of thoughts, right? A lot of original thoughts. But I'm also at the Met with one of my friends. So
Do you remember any of these original thoughts?
Yes, we're getting there.
There's not a ton
of liberty in my thinking, because you're at the Met. So there's just sort of composure.
Right.
And sort of, you know, people in ties where you're like, okay, mm-hmm. sure. We go into this room. It's there every time. It does not move. I'm telling you this for reference, because it's the greatest room ever. It's called the Temple of Dendor. It's Egyptian room, okay? I'm at the Met. I'm walking with Andrew. I'm kind of nonverbal. I'm just thinking. Walking to the Temple of Dendor, look up, start sobbing. It's so beautiful. It's just so pretty. And I'm not even a museum person.
No.
I don't really care. Okay? But it was so pretty, okay? So we're walking to the Temple of Dendor. It's Egyptian. The wall is all like one big window, you know? And I'm just so emotional. And I'm like, you know what? Sorry. I'm like, you know what? For the first half of my 20s, I was thinking, and we're in the middle of the temple, so yeah. There's people everywhere, sand on the ground. So for the first half of my 20s, I really thought that life was best led independently, single, making decisions for one, moving for one. You're not responsible for anyone else but you, and I thought that that was kind of the way to lead life.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm in the second half of my 20s, and I'm thinking, partnership is so lovely, and to decide to move somewhere and to do that with someone, mm-hmm. and to maybe build a family or to like integrate your family. It's like partnership is actually really powerful. And I'm like, because Andrew was just married, mind you. And then he starts crying. It was beautiful. So back to the dating in New York. I don't know what the fuck's going on. But I do know that partnership is actually very special. And I think I neglected even looking at it as an option for a long time, you know?
But you still don't, want one.
No.
The end of the story is you don't want
one. Do you
one.
Actively want one?
I want one so bad I could kill myself.
And she will.
And it's a terrible position to be coming from, to be honest. I think you're supposed, I think everyone I know, they always go, and I believe them, they go, well, I stopped wanting one for some reason, and then it came. And I was like, well, talk to me never.
Speaking of John Early, if the not looking is looking, then we're just looking. You know what I mean?
True. I guess I'm not settling, which is like... Yeah.
True.
Or are people just not letting me settle because I don't.
Here's my question. I kind of want to, I like want to get him in here too, but like my question is like, when it comes to me and I think about it, I'm like, oh, that's just not something I need, you know? Mm-hmm. But do you feel like it's something you need or something you, how long am I going to go like this also? Is it something like, is that a need for you? Is it a want? Or is it just something that it's like, and I also, most of my friends, keep in mind before you answer, most of my friends, all my lifelong best friends, serial daters, all of them. My brother included. He got married at 20. Look at me. You know what I mean? So like, what is it to you? Is it just like, because you've also, Maddie, I don't know if you, I would say you're a serial dater.
I don't think I am because I tend to take 2.5 years to get over everybody is my pattern. I need to, after a relationship, I go, see you guys in 2.5 years.
Yeah. But you feel like you need, I think you just like relationships. And maybe I don't like relationships.
I definitely would prefer to be in a relationship than not be in a relationship. That's crazy. If I had my pick.
Whoa.
But that's where it doesn't compute because I'm like, at the same time, if you think about, okay, I'm going to have, if in theory I want children, marriage, da, 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 then I'm not going to be single again ever. So maybe it's fine to spend however much time you're going to be single. It's just, my therapist describes it when I describe it, he says, you seem panicked. And I think I am scared for some reason that if it doesn't happen by a certain time, it won't happen, which is stupid and not true. And sort of, like we were saying before, sexist, question mark?
Okay, we're going to get into ageism in a second.
Because I do identify as being a very happy person.
Yeah.
And I genuinely like my life.
I identify as happy.
I also think that maybe I just kind of like get a lot out of my relationships. So of course I like them. Like I'm always like, hey, like, what are you doing for me lately? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Make me dinner. They pick me up at the airport.
I think Maddie might be... I think Matt, if we're comparing, Maddie's maybe needier than I am in that way.
Yeah, I agree. Because you even... You know, you're cooking me a dinner. You're picking me up from the airport as well.
Well, Maddie has a child. Do you want to say the bathroom story or should I?
Oh, I recently was told by my mother that when I was a kid, she would go to the bathroom and I would scream until she came back. And and of course, this has come up in the conversation around anxious attachment. Is it real? Because I don't think it is.
What are the options again?
Anxious, avoidant, secure. But I think...
Last one. Next.
I think that...
Wait, so there is a good, I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt. I always thought it was anxious and avoidant. I didn't know there was a third option. Third option is the best option.
It's not something you pick. It's unfortunately from when you're a baby. It is the theory.
Okay, go ahead.
I've decided I don't believe in it because I think you're anxious when you like the other person more. I think it comes down, and I think you're avoidant when you don't because a lot of people in my life would call me avoidant and I'd go, well...
Well,
wasn't in it to win it, was
I? But anxious and avoidant can't only be romantic relationships, isn't it everything? So maybe it's a blanketed, maybe it's not just like you're relating it to a crush or two.
Oh, I think it is just for your,
but
I think
like even with family, if you needed to have a confrontation, would you have a confrontation or a conversation?
But that's, I don't think that's part of the same. It. I think that from what I've read, it's like when you're avoidant, your biggest fear is losing your independence. And you will pull away and do distancing behaviors.
That sucks so bad.
And when you're anxious, your biggest fear is being abandoned, which I'm not going to lie to you to say that's not true. But
y'all heard it here first.
And then secure, I guess, they just walk on a bed of, they just love their life. Everything's fine for them.
Yeah. I mean, my mom definitely let me cry. She let me like self-regulate very young, you know. For instance, when I was nannying in Los Angeles, when I first moved there, there was this baby I was watching, and the mom wouldn't let the baby ever go down. If the baby was crying, like, before a nap, the baby would have to stop crying before it slept, which I found insane. Any young mothers
your
listening?
Team Ferberize the baby.
Well, it's just like babies are going to cry. I used to throw crazy, crazy tantrums and my mom would be like, yeah, like, yeah. You like she was very, I even remember when I was like older too, I like one time I like fell asleep, I was crying, wailing, and I fell asleep at the base of my door. I just passed out and I woke up because she was moving my body out of the way to open my bedroom door. Like she was just very,
but didn't
like
your mom also
figure
tell you that
out.
You can get mad in the same pants you got sad in or whatever.
Yeah, and my mom also, her slogan is 5 minute pity party.
Yeah, that's, which I actually think that one's kind
of
good.
All you have,
but that one's
just crazy
of, that one's somewhat her
dad,
validating.
Her dad told her that one. So that's actually my granddad.
I'm like, don't let the baby cry. But also don't freak out if the baby's crying. The baby's going to cry. My stepdad and his wife, they would lose it if their baby was crying. And I was like, it's going to cry a little bit. You have to accept that as truth. But I don't think that you're supposed to lie them down to just wail it out, apparently. Apparently now they're saying no on that.
They're saying no. But also it's like, that's where it comes from because the baby has to know that you're going to come back. So if it cries and self-soothes and self-regulates and in 2 hours after nap time, you come back. Mm-hmm. But if every time they cry, you go in, then if they're, you know, mm-hmm. Maddie with the cat lately, Maddie misses the cat at the house.
I'm actually attached to the cat.
There's a cat.
The place we're staying.
And I've never seen, I mean, this cat doesn't like anyone and it won't leave Maddie alone. It's quite strange.
At first I was
very
like,
very maternal, speaking of
this
babies.
Is awesome. And then I started to have anxious. I started to be avoided a little bit to the cat, and now we're lockstep. I'm thinking about, even when you were talking about babies before, I was like, I wonder what Pia is doing.
Really?
Yeah.
She also, do you think she's,
I think if,
a screw loose?
I think if a cat could have BPD, it would be that cat.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because she also like,
not to diagnose you, but I think what you're describing is BPD.
she hisses and bites if you don't pet her.
Yeah.
Which I've never experienced in a cat.
Yeah. No, she's, if her owners are listening, I'm sorry, but she's, I don't think she's very cool, which is why I struggle with her. I need the animals to be cool. I need the babies to be cool. And I need most everyone to shut up.
Sometimes I don't like a baby.
Literally.
Really rarely.
Ugly babies, like,
no, it's not about that for me.
Just kidding. If any ugly babies are listening, it's a good band name, Ugly Baby. Because we all knew one, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Do you watch Instagram Reels about parenting?
Yes. Oh. I thought you just meant in general. Yeah, a lot of my reels are like me. The exact same algorithm. How do I know that? Every time I go to like a video, she's liked it.
That's
and
incredible.
It's homemaking. It's mm-hmm. it's sourdough.
It's beef
and it's
sourdough.
It's raw milk. Yeah, and yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm making fun of this. Are you making fun of? You know, like, I'm celebrating it because I think it's cool. I like that the pendulum is swinging to like ultra conservatism, like ultra like,
yeah, you like that.
Oh, I'm off the grid, but I'm recording me and my 10 kids cooking dinner, so like, which is it? Like the pendulum swinging. I don't like it. I like that it's not so like punk rock anymore. Like the age of the woman is like kind mm-hmm. of swinging into this, how many children can I have before 30? I'm talking about Ballerina Farm specifically, which loves. Go on.
That is anti-feminism to me though.
Here
that movement.
Yeah, here she go. Let her talk her talk.
It sucks because I do think
it's
we
not,
should
it's,
be
it's
economically
feminine.
Set up for people to raise their children and have enough money to do so. But I don't think that whenever I see those videos that are like, God, to pay another woman to raise my kid, I'd kill myself. I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe like you're a doctor, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's a really good point. I think that's fair.
Also, I was a nanny and I had extremely fulfilling, rewarding experiences with other people's kids. And I
totally.
Think that's nice. And
totally.
I think that was an enriching part of everyone's. Remember, like, the ladies would take care of you sometimes when you were a kid? Like,
I love
they were
my
weird. They were strange sometimes.
Okay, Maddie only
but, like,
had
they were new. Like,
eccentric
they
nannies.
My parents had, like, a certain type of friends, and my family was a certain way. And then these nannies were, like, a third thing that comes
into
the
chat. Did you have young nannies? Like, hot young nannies or, like, older nannies?
I didn't have
like,
that
you
many...
know, sometimes you have a buffer between, like, the dad and the nanny. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
I didn't have that many nannies because my mom was an actress and my they were divorced, so I would just go to my dad's if my mom was busy,
right.
Which she wasn't that often when I was growing up. but I had this woman, she was cool. She, when I was like older, I had like, they were like assistants kind of my mom, or maybe they were just saying that to make me feel better, but
yeah,
it kind of comes to it down to like a certain point you get into it, they just need to drive you to soccer practice, but you're not really like, they're not taking care of you, you know?
Yeah. What's the difference between an out-of-work actor and a former actor? Same thing?
Mindset.
All about hustle. It really is mindset.
Yeah.
Should we go over some of our notes or no?
Yeah. I mean, I think my number one note is to ask, of course, who you're going to vote for.
Okay, let's get into it. So
Alexis Booker is the mythical undecided voter.
I think cat's out of the bag. You know I look like and sound like I would have voted for Trump, and thank you for saying that. I was in the voting booth in Dallas. I was looking at the computer. My mom had already voted outside. We know what side of history she stood on. It starts with a T. And so I was standing in there looking at the screen, and it was a total fear-mongering thing because I was, like, hovering. I was going... And I thought, if I don't vote for Biden, I'm going to get my ass beat. Mm-hmm. Somehow, someday, mm-hmm. I'm going to get in really big trouble.
Right.
And so I remember I voted for Biden, and I was like, that was a good thing to have done. That was good.
In 2020.
Registered Republican, I'm pretty sure, somewhere. I was quite young. Yeah. I don't know. I think so. That was in 2020. Voted for Biden. We saw how that turned out. I don't even think he could feed himself at this point. So my nano, can I actually read a direct quote from my grandma talking about Biden? I think I've sent you this. But so yeah, I voted for Biden just because I felt like I had to. I didn't know what he stood for.
That's crazy.
I miss Bernie, if I'm being honest. Like, that's someone that I thought was really cool. Obviously didn't vote for Hillary. I don't know if I was registered to vote then. But anyways, so this go around, I'm like, how much worse could it get, almost? Mm-hmm. I think RFK Jr. is really cool. I'll probably, just to be a dick, write him in. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's on the ballot. He's off completely.
I think he's on the ballot in California is what we went to.
Why California is a better state than New York.
We went to the park on Saturday.
Yep.
And we met a lot of his supporters, and they wanted to talk to us.
Can I show it to the camera?
Oh, you can't. And
we happened upon a rally.
Alexis wanted to take pictures with them, and I did not want to be in photos.
That's not the story. We were walking through Maria Hernandez Park, okay, in Bushwick, and we happened upon a rally. Mm-hmm. And they stop, they interject, they step out in front of us, and they say, "Do you know RFK Jr. is running for president?" And I said, "I love him." Yeah. I was like, do we know? And they said, what did they say?
50%? They said 50% of people don't know he's
50%
running.
Of people don't know he's running. And then they gave us the tote bags and the buttons. Mm-hmm. And then they said, I did not prompt them. They said, can we take a photo? I was adamant about getting the photos, obviously, because it's so funny. Mm-hmm. But they took photos. And then I also want to be the first female president. And so we started talking about that.
Right. That's also important.
Better with Booker.
Because this could be an archive, of course, of your ascension politically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what my nano said about... My nano is... My nano is my grandmother, and she does not like Biden, obviously. She's born and raised in Texas. For her entire life, lives in the country. The note says, talking about Biden. Open quote from my nano. She's 84. His family needs to be charged with elder abuse. He needs to be in a home where they can bring him ice cream and his house shoes. That's what she said. So that's the environment.
That's from a grandmother.
And I still voted for him. Yeah, she's very passionate. Fox News on a loop in that house, though. So take that. You know what I mean? Like, that's also a problem in and of itself. There's a lot of good stuff in here from my nano, actually. Separate things. But
new podcast.
Yeah, who am I voting for? I mean, again, like, I feel dumb because I don't totally know the options, but I'm not voting for Biden again, which leaves me with what? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not writing in Nikki Haley, I'll tell you that much. You know, like, sure. I know what I'm not doing. Mm-hmm. More than I know what I'm doing.
And you are not going to vote for Trump, I'm hoping.
I would vote for RFK Jr. If RFK Jr. is on the ballot, I'll vote. But my ballot, I'm registered in Texas, so I don't know what they're doing.
Right.
Maybe I'll make a call. Who are you voting for?
Well, I'm
and you.
Unable to vote in this country.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have to say.
Why do you even care? Just kidding. Someday you'll be able to vote, right?
Or yes. No? Oh. If I continue the way I'm continuing. I'm a good little girl in this country.
Turns out it's really hard. To immigrate, y'all. I mean, fuck. Hard.
You grew up in Texas. You know how desperate people are. And then you meet me and you're like, whoa, wait a second.
I don't
people want to get in here.
I meet Maddie and all of her friends from Canada. And Maddie wasn't there that night. We're on a street in Chinatown, Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Not even here. Worst Chinatown. We're on a street. And this girl named Sam is like, yeah, it's going to cost me by the end $20,000 to be here. And I was like, look around, like, mm-hmm. here, like, you want to be right here for $20,000? I'm like, I wouldn't even pay that. And I'm standing here, you know, like, that just seems so extreme.
But where else would you want to be without the $20,000?
And also, why does everyone want to come here?
Where would,
like,
you
so want to
be, you know, born?
If I could do it all over, maybe somewhere crazy like Greenland or I guess, I mean, as a kid, I remember thinking, oh, England seems like a better place than here. Like, mm-hmm. but they seem kind of just as fucked in different ways. Like, mm-hmm. I think monarchy is weird. So I don't really have an answer. I mean, truly space, you know, like, if we could colonize that, that would be so beep, beep, cool. But I also don't understand, like, everyone's like beating the door down to get in America and then like shitting on it all at the same time. So it's like, you don't have to come, not you, but
yeah,
other people.
I mean, but it's the empire is why they want that. It's the,
it's like a drug. Like, you're hooked and now it's like, well, you can't really live without it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not efficient here in a lot of ways. There's a lot of things you guys are doing wrong that could just be better in a million ways. But that doesn't mean you don't got some stuff
but
going on.
But who's doing it right? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Is Canada? How's Justin Thoreau? What's his?
yeah, it's pretty whack up there as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Groceries are bad. Rent is bad.
Rent is bad.
Rent is crazy.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
I think it's, I think I'd prefer to be killing it in America. I mean, most people, I think, would prefer. It's, like, great to be on the top in America.
Yeah.
It's just how many people are not and will never be. And
but everyone here needs, like, a million jobs right now. It just doesn't. Can I also say, this is, like, this, I haven't really been at an age yet where I can be, like, understand the real turmoil of the country. But right now, it does seem as heavy and as, the disparity is very evident as it has been my entire life. Like, right now seems quite bad. You know, like, I remember the recession. I remember 2008, but it didn't really affect me. And now it's like, oh, no, like, if I want to live here, it's going to cost X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to have to do X, Y, and Z. And that's beep, beep. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I just never really considered that because LA was always so easy, you know?
There is definitely a part of my brain that's, like, going back to being single, which that's, we could call that the podcast because I relate to everything as I relate to that I'm single. And there's definitely a part of me that's like, is dating sort of coming up with your apocalypse buddy? You know what I mean?
Totally.
And that, I'm like, well, what are we even doing? Like, the idea that like, oh, I want to live in Los Angeles and be close to my family while we have our kids. It's like, well, it might be water wars time pretty soon. And then you're not going to be, you're not going to be going El Prado for drinks, you know? So it's like.
Shout out. That's our sponsor for tonight. El Prado. Yeah. They're awesome. Bar in Los Angeles. Go ahead.
Yeah. Our favorite bar in Los Angeles.
It's not, I mean, hepatitis A, B, and C, but we'll get into that. We don't have it, but you could get it there. I think that's a really good point. And that's why partnership is so important, because you need to get a partner.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I don't want to be at the fire, going tire fire to tire fire, looking around for someone strong. You know what I mean? Someone strong, cool.
I'm going to be honest.
Someone who's funny.
It's not going to happen for us. I don't think it's going to happen for us. I don't think World War III is that imminent. I really don't. I think we're going to have grandkids. And then maybe it'll happen. That's what I hope for.
Just yeah, that's what we're all hoping
for. Give me three generations.
Yeah, that's how everyone feels, though. It's like passing the buck a little
bit.
But
I think my Nano and my great-grandmother thought with each generation, holy shit. You know, I think they were just like, they were like, these kids are going to suck. They don't know who the Beatles are. You know, whatever people complain about. That's always the conversation. They don't know British rock. It's like, who cares?
Also, we do.
Also, Abbey Road, you know, spelled A-B-B-E-Y, right? I think we're also like very evolved and technologically sound and like protected and like, I don't know what's in the sky. Don't tell me. I'm not going to ask, but I do feel like, I mean, I don't want to think about World War III, but I also don't think about life in terms of like, who do I want to be with in case World War III happens, you know? Yeah. And maybe that's the thought you've
had. I do. Cause even in terms terrible. Of moving here, I was like, well, if, you know, someone should be with my mom, if shit gets real. But also, we already did pandemic. Did the pandemic make you more confident about society's ability to adapt or less?
No, dude. It made me realize we're so dumb.
Oh. Controversial opinion, I kind of think we... It wasn't as bad as it could have
been. They formed us all
been.
Into... They like... It felt very, like, divergent to me. It all felt very divergent.
But week one was like, oh, if a certain amount of people die, the supply chain goes and we have nothing and we have no... Like, that felt
that
so
happened,
easy
oh.
to happen. Yeah, we have inflation, but we don't have, like...
Yeah. Oh, it definitely made us subject to our... It showed our weaknesses and, like, how fragile we are. Yes, I think, as a country. But as a people, individuals, I think we suffered a lot. I think we suffered irreversibly, including children.
Tell them also...
Don't.
I'm fascinated by this, that when you got off the plane to go home during the pandemic, everyone was like, get your mask off.
Yeah. Texas was a different world. I also was like, I didn't take the pandemic very seriously, and I should have. I realized that. Like, I was kind of like, I also thought, come on. Like, I was erring on the side of, it's going to be 2 weeks long. Okay? It was not. It was years long. And I am not vaccinated, and it's not because I'm anti-vax. It's just because... Don't tell me what to do. Do you know what I mean?
Like, you're more of a contrarian than you are.
Totally. And I also love that, like, the alt-right was like, my body, my choice, relating the vax to abortion, which is so fucked up. But part of me was like, honestly, yeah, if it's anything. And like, yes, I have other vaccines, but it was more just like, I never had it, never tested positive. And I realize that's a privilege. Not anti-vax. Now going back to when I went to Texas, I am anti-vax. When I went to Texas, I went there in March of 2020. So we were fresh off the boat, quite literally, fresh off the Delta flight. And yeah, I had a mask on and I remember getting off. And I think the people at DFW airport that were waiting for their bags and everything were like, you look like a fucking idiot kind of a thing, you know? And then when my parents, of course, didn't have them on when they picked me up. And then we go to dinner on the water and it is a party and a half. I mean, it was a different world. Oh my God, I wish I had photos. Like I walk into this, I don't know why we went to this place. Not really my parents seen. It was like sandwiches and like beer and stuff. And we went in there and it was like shoulder to shoulder with like total strangers, obviously. And I was just like, oh, y'all, like, this does not exist here. And even more so in Florida. It was just crazy. It was kind of nice, but also you can just go to Orange County for that. You know what I mean? Like, when you're in LA, like, OC did not take it seriously. Like, mask off, shoes off, like, barefoot, like, redneck, you know? So it was just, like, very polarizing and quite sad. And also it did confuse me because I was like, it doesn't exist here, but it exists here. So, like, what's what? You know what I mean? And it really existed in New York. Really existed in New York. Mm-hmm. You couldn't go anywhere without a, should I say this? Without a vax card. I guess we weren't friends then, but yeah, you couldn't, library, anywhere, PE, restaurant, nowhere you could go inside. And I thought, is this a militia? You know, I thought it was so strange. So I had a vax card. Mm-hmm. And it worked.
I feel like the lines are getting squiggly also, like, what position attributes you to what? Because I actually think the anti-vax movement, in my opinion, was always like, it's always like hippies.
Totally.
That's who I associated it with.
I was gonna ask.
Weren't you guys kind of more like follow the rules? Like I feel like
familial
flipped.
Yeah.
We were. The left was for free love and sex and all this stuff.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point.
And now it's like the establishment, and
it really is.
It's like pro-war and. Really bad.
If I could dumb it down like this, I would say my dad has a bumper sticker. I think you know this. My dad has a bumper sticker, but on the inside of the car, because he thinks someone's going to take it. The bumper sticker is on the inside of the back windshield, and it says liberalism, ideas so good, they have to be mandatory, you know? So that is also, I know, but that is also the same switch, because my parents are like very square to the bone, and then with the vax, they were like, a Woodstock couple, and I was like, which, huh? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that happens, though. I mean, even with the Civil War, it was like, literally the country flipped politically and like geographically flipped. So I think maybe the pandemic just did that for us. But now, of course, the election's coming up, and we're like, what's going on? You know? Like, it just feels like the lesser of two idiots.
It just feels like the plot is very fast right now. The updates are coming quick, and I'm like, there's no way it can be at this pace until November. We did the show the other day at Union Hall, and we came out and we were having glass of orange wine, and he'd been shot in the ear. And it was just like, well, I've been trying to write jokes about it, and I get to do them all one time.
People that think it was staged, I'm just like, even if Biden was shot, even if anyone was shot, I wouldn't be like, put up job.
How do people think it's staged? I'm like, I can't believe it's not happening constantly to him.
I love Obama, I love Michelle. I'm so shocked that Obama and Trump were not assassinated, because they had so much hate from both sides. You know what I mean? Like, the left hates Trump, the right didn't really revere Obama. And every time they got up to have a speech, I would brace myself, and it never happened. So the fact that you're every right, did it happen now? Yeah, yeah. Every time they were at, like, let's say, like, the Washington Monument, I'm like, how could anyone, like, detect a sniper in this crowd? Like, they're done.
I was just like, no one's going to try and assassinate Trump. Well, because I'm like, it's not romantic. It's not a romantic assassination. You know what I mean?
Totally. It's not like...
It's because he's not presidential. Mm. Oh, he killed the host of the Celebrity Apprentice. Doesn't matter how evil it is.
Really,
it's just
good
kind
show.
Of like,
maybe I should
come
watch
on.
That. I love that show growing up.
I also think that maybe it's hard to kill the president. He probably has a lot of security at all times.
Maybe, honestly, now that I think about it, all the speeches, maybe they had something right there. Right? Is there a guard or something? Like a piece of bulletproof
piece of plastic
glass?
Plastic or something.
Paper thin tissue paper. No, but like something, there must be something we can't see. Like Hunger Games style, you know what I mean? Okay, I'm gonna look at my notes. I think Maddie knocked hers out.
Yeah.
Mine are actually, the thing is, we joked about not making this political, well, and that's really all we can talk about, because what else is there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Politics is people.
Okay, we covered everything on mine.
I think I had another note.
Mine says Faith, who we're voting for. We've become too inclusive. We have an anti-vax. And again, I'm not anti-vax.
Mine says what? You wanted to talk about being anti-vax?
No.
Oh. Mine says, what's up, fuckers? And then it says, biggest lesson of last year.
Jesus.
Wait, we also didn't talk about our personal... We talked about single this, single that, dating in New York, dating in LA. But you have just moved to New York City this summer.
I did.
To become...
I'm a chef de partie. Yeah. I'm a chef actively, actually, but just a low chef. Yep. What's the question?
Well, that's a huge change in your life. Oh. Do you have anything to share about it, as the archive goes?
I get really modest and, like, I just shut down the rest of the interview.
Do you think that...
Yeah.
interview. Do you think this time next year...
Between two firms.
Do you think this time next year...
Yeah.
You'll have a Michelin star. You'll be a chef.
Oh, I'll... I don't... Hold on. Aaron, no. Do not disturb. No, I don't think... I don't know how... I don't know. That's a tough question. I mean, will I have a Michelin at some point? Yes. In a year... I don't think Frog... I'm working in a restaurant in the West Village called Frog Club. And it's the same owner as Horses, which is a restaurant in Los Angeles. Really great restaurant. Favorite restaurant in the world. Went there for my birthday this year with my mom. Mm-hmm. I don't think Frog is... I don't know. I think a lot would have to change. But yeah, I do want a Michelin before I die. Mm. But I don't really know the order of that happens. And it's also like... Food is such a big thing, you know? And I'm still working remotely in LA, which is such a blessing, doing production. And it's fine. But food is like, it's people's entire worlds. It's their world. Mm-hmm. And so I also need to decide if that's something that I want to become my world. You know what I mean? Because I thought I could kind of like come into it and be like, hey. And it's becoming this like, it's like how I imagine anyone does anything they care about, but like also like filmmaking. Like it's this like, mm-hmm. It's this thing in and of itself. It's like this whole entire person. You know what I mean? So
I definitely do think that.
A Michelin in a year is also a crazy question. What are we in Amsterdam? I can't get a Michelin in a year.
I'm sure everyone at home loves that joke, but I didn't get it. But.
Amsterdam is, they just have a lot of, it's good food.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like, I don't know.
I mean,
like,
not that I'm not done. I just didn't know they were known for that.
There's like.
I thought they were known for weed.
And Amsterdam?
Yeah.
She thinking Dairy Girls? I don't know. Maybe I don't know anything about Amsterdam, actually. But I do know that there's a Michelin pizza place there. There's a Michelin... It's, like, very clean. I'm pretty sure the place in the that body of water, the... not Noma. There was, like, a restaurant in a body of water, and it looked like a cornucopia. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about or no? And you had to go to it by boat. And then they made a movie. The menu was about that place.
Oh.
That was in Europe. And I think it was in the Netherlands or Amsterdam or something.
What's your favorite food?
Fact check.
See, you can be very good
friends. I love Mexican food. I'm not going to lie to y'all.
That's a cuisine.
I'm not going to lie to y'all. Oh.
I'm on an item.
Oh, meat. Meat. Meat is murder. Do you know that song? Oh, I have to pee again. Meat is murder is a song for the for vegans everywhere. It's old. But yeah, meat. I think any kind of meat. A braised meat. Really steak. We both love steak. Yeah. Maybe I need to make, I would say meat. Maybe like anything, roast, a nice Sunday roast, mm-hmm. or Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday roast, pork, chicken, bacon.
It's one of the craziest answers I've ever heard to the.
What's your favorite food?
We've all said, "What's your food?" to someone, and no one has ever replied, "Meat." In my life, that's never happened. Steak, I'm on board with, but then now you're just naming meats.
Yeah, meat's the best.
I know you like meat. I'm just saying that's.
Meat that's is like saying murder. Like, yeah.
You know, it's like one of those questions people ask. It's
what's
I thought
your
you had more
food?
Of a stock.
Mac and cheese.
My favorite food is those
pad
little,
thai.
Well, raspberries.
That's my favorite crazy food. Right now. Drumstick. Go ahead, raspberries.
Raspberry, my favorite food. But if you want a different answer, I could give you another answer, which is, you know, when you get those spicy, crispy tuna things from sushi restaurants in LA.
Yeah.
That's it.
Air One has a really good one. It's like $18, though. Do you know what I'm talking about? Crispy tuna rice cake, and then it's stacked on top. I stole a lot of those in the summer of 2019. Great. Just walked right out with them.
So you don't have any... parting question.
Yeah.
Now that we've gotten over...
He's like, it's been 10 minutes.
Food? Yeah. We've been talking for 2 minutes.
That would be crazy. Tell me.
Any wish?
I do have a good idea. I have one more topic, actually.
Okay.
I'm sorry that this... I know this is a stream of consciousness, but this is what people like to hear. Mm-hmm. What if faith is all a sham? You know?
Sure.
And Maddie is quite... What?
What if?
They said what myth? I was like, there's so many.
But you have a more active relationship with capital G God on a daily basis, I'd say, than I do. I'm kind of like, oh, I got an idea. I should go that way, not this way. And now my life is good. And ever since
that's
I started
spirit-led.
Following that. Yeah.
Which you talk about.
Yeah, I talk about that, but I don't, at what point does that just make you a flake? That's my question.
A flake?
Yeah.
No. It's bigger than that. It's not that one-dimensional, I think. I think it's much more elaborate than being a flake.
Sometimes I think I'm just wishy-washy.
Well, she said it, and I didn't have to. No, I'm kidding.
And what if faith is all a sham is your question?
Yeah, I just think that...
you want to level on the pod.
Well, Maddie studied... I can say studied. Like, was going to convert to Islam, which is a... The most romantic, you don't want to talk about that.
No, we can.
Which is quite, I think, a romantic. I think Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, Islam are the big five. Mm-hmm. My five best friends. Wish they were here right now. but yeah, I think they're all quite romantic, but I think Christianity and Islam are incredibly romantic. And like, Jesus was awesome, Muhammad was awesome. I know they would have hung out hard. But
draw
I just
a picture of him really quick so everyone knows what that would look like.
I can't draw. It's my only thing I can't do, and you asked me to do it on live podcast.
Hey, keep going.
But sometimes I just think like, oh man, like, and I surround myself with people who do have a sense that maybe there's something beyond just ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Simon believes in the universe. Maddie, you know, believes in all kinds
herself
of things and like
in her career in comedy.
Maddie really believes in her one woman show.
Yeah.
No, but I just sometimes I think, okay, like, damn, like, if I life ends, I'm like, the gates of heaven aren't there, like, damn, like that, like,
oh, that would rock. But you'd be dead, so it's fine.
I'd be dead, but I will say, let's just say for the atheists and agnostics listening, let's just say it is a sham. Let's mm-hmm. say it's all funny, and I look like an idiot talking about it. That's fine, but it's not a bad life to have led. Do you know what I mean?
A faithful
life. Looking at the like life of people of. You know, Muslim people and Christian mm-hmm. people. And I'm just saying those are the really, really big ones. Like
your favorite ones.
They're my favorite ones. Even if it's like not real, that was like, we are very sweet. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So it's like, I'm going to chalk it up to that, you know? And Maddie can relate because she's very sweet. And
Definitely having a lot more fun believing in something than the 2 years of YouTube style atheism that I was interested in high school.
Oh my God.
You know,
God.
When you're like,
oh my God.
But also, of course, you
know. Yeah.
That I did that. No, but you know when you're in high school and you're like, I need to find out the answers and I need to not believe in it. Like, I remember like even with, I like went to therapy in high school because things are going very well. And yeah. I was like, what is this lady doing? I was like, what? I need like a more. And then so I went to a very sciencey kind of see, like I was like, this therapy is proven in a lab. And then now I'm like, Whoa. Oh, they can't study every single thing that's ever happened in a lab. So you're not going to get answers for everything in that way. Not that I don't believe in finding things out that way, but we just don't have the time. You know, like with supplements, not every supplement I take.
There she goes.
Oh, this is my new thing that people do not care about this conversation.
This is driving
topic
me crazy, this one. Actually,
it's actually annoying, but I'm like talking about faith. I'm like, I'm taking these compounded pills completely and utterly on a wing and a prayer that they're not devoid. Like
if it's on the periodic table, it's fine,
but it's not like, people took Quaaludes for diet pills, and then blood came out of the faucet, you know, hallucinations and stuff, and they were like, crap. And I feel that way about my magnesium, which is, I am so unbelievably obsessed with taking my magnesium at night that if someone in 20 years came to me and said, oh yeah, that was like the worst thing anyone's, that was so bad for you, I'd be like,
magnesium was just magnesium though. Quaaludes were fucked up.
But this,
that's like saying crack and cocaine. It's like one is really bad, one is kind of fun.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, that is the biggest misconception. They're basically the same. It's just a
Maddie thinks that
branding issue.
B12 could be
bad.
A fucking, yeah, some sort of rewiring of
not
the brain.
To mention that not even like, oh, B12 is a compound, is like, I don't know who's making that. They don't really regulate who makes these things.
What
for
do you
me
think
I buy them
it?
At the store.
What do you think they're putting in it if not B12? What
and
is
then
it?
This conversation became, hang on a second, how do they even make a vitamin? And Alexis said they put a banana in a machine and they get the, they extract
it. I did not
it.
Say
she
that
said they, she did. That's why we were going over this for so long.
I said maybe vitamins
said
are,
they take out the DNA from the banana.
No, she, and you know what, this is classic Maddie. No, what I said, she was like, how do they get vitamins? And I said, well, vitamins are naturally occurring. Mm-hmm. Vitamin A, you can find them in fruits and vegetables. Maybe they get them from fruits and vegetables. And then Maddie said, you think they put it in a machine and it spits out a vitamin? And I said, she said, how would they do that? And then I said, in the same way you can extract DNA from a strawberry, which I guess she didn't do in middle school. as an experiment. So I'm just thinking, like, you can not, if these things are naturally derived, which they are, but Maddie's argument is just because they're naturally derived doesn't mean that's what I'm ingesting into my body, right?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, who fucking cares? No, I was going to buy the V12 from Trader Joe's, which Maddie swears by, and now I'm like, what the hell?
It's the same thing as everyone's like, life.
Are you seeing the watermelons? Are you seeing the avocados? Are you seeing the bananas? They're all, have you seen these videos?
This is the biggest update. We should have led with this. This is my update of the year. State of the Union. You and I sliced into a watermelon 3 days ago and it was yellow.
Scary.
Like yellow, like fluorescent yellow.
Bright
like
yellow.
Gatorade.
I literally was like, is this honeydew? But it tastes like watermelon. And then Maddie posted it online and I think everyone was like, yeah, yellow watermelon.
No. Everyone was like, this happened to me this month.
We should not have eaten that. We ate it. You ate a lot of it.
I ate all of it.
Did you go get another yellow watermelon?
No, I cut up watermelon because I thought, show me the insides now. I need to make sure that it's the right one.
Okay. When we leave here, we need to look up yellow watermelon. Like, we need to, maybe it's a phenomenon. Sorry, I'm stopped up, but we need to look up yellow watermelon.
Yeah.
I thought that people replied and said, that's normal. I grew up eating yellow watermelon.
One person said that's normal, and they're not.
Are they?
They're most normal.
Yeah.
And they also are a bit of a troll in that way.
Jesus.
But everyone was like,
name
no, this
drop,
just happened to me.
Drop.
And also it wasn't, I mean, maybe I don't read the sign when I buy a watermelon, but if you're going to give me a new thing, if you're giving me a banana that I open and it's an
onomatopoeia. So if I open the banana, it's an onomatopoeia. Yeah, I'm writing. I'm letter to the editor.
You better have a big sign that's like, hey, these ones are yellow and taste different.
Also, how would they even know they're yellow? How would they know? How do we know?
I just didn't think that.
Have you ever had a yellow watermelon?
Yeah.
I have not, but they've been around for over 5,000 years. They just haven't been as widely grown.
And you know that, or you just Googled it already?
I have a computer in front of me, of course. Yeah. There's also orange watermelons, apparently, too, and they've been around for thousands of years,
what?
But we just don't eat them as
maybe
much.
Maybe we got them from Costa Rica. Maybe we got them from a tropical place.
I've traveled. I know there's all kinds of things we're not eating all the time.
Yeah.
I'm saying when I walk into it was a new grocery store. Maybe that was part of it.
In Bushwick. Let's put it into perspective. You know what I mean? I don't know where they're getting their produce.
It was a wonderful watermelon and it tasted good, but...
It tasted really good, actually.
I guess I just... I'm being sort of... It was an ego death.
Yeah, it was an ego death. Maddie's being a skeptic when it comes to Big Pharma, which I am actively Big Pharma, which is why I'm... Did not get vaccinated, Big Pharma. But now Maddie is the pendulum swinging and she doesn't even want to take her. I mean, I don't know if you're still taking the supplements or if it's just freaking you out, you know? But yeah, I think ultimately we can agree.
I'm going to take them all. I take also medication for my ADHD. And I know that's bad. And I just learned that they didn't even figure out that application for it. They just used to give it to soldiers to make them go crazy.
Like Adderall and Vivit?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, there is no clinical. Apparently, you don't actually become more focused. You become more confident, is what people are saying now. But I'm like, yeah, that's actually one of my main distractions, though, is that I'm a loser and I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So that is actually clear. Like, maybe that makes you more confident, but that's
Adderall's making you confident, not focused.
That's the theory that I've heard.
That's a
about.
Good thing, though. I think because from confidence, focus comes. Because you can clearly be like, this is what I'm doing. This is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you can kind of streamline that.
Yeah.
You don't see, you rarely see a lazy, confident person. I think you see proactive, confident people, you know?
I have met some incredibly lazy, confident people.
Would you rather be confident or focused?
Focused.
Really?
Well, what am I, I guess what am
not
I focusing
me.
On? You want to be confident mm-hmm. at all costs.
I think confidence has more currency than focus. It's the same logic as like talent is a genius. Like, you know what I mean? Like.
What logic is that?
It's from Little Women. It's a direct quote.
Greta Gerwig's Little Women.
Careful.
Oh, it's from the book. This is what we'll end the pod on. We watched a film. We rewatched a film.
Oh my God.
A little movie called Uptown Girls.
Let's just say that movie was, there are some things that are blessed. That movie was blessed, capital B.
It was an incredible, incredible film. It made me upset.
Also, really quick, I know it seems like we're joking. We're not joking.
We're not joking at all.
At all. Go on.
Just like.
Storytelling.
We need feminism. Back.
Oh,
no
yeah.
more Barbie movie. Uptown Girl only.
Maddie, towards the end, and for those who haven't seen, Uptown Girl's movie from the 90s, I'm not going to spoil anything. Brittany Murphy, 2000, Dakota Fanning.
2000s, right? Maybe.
Oh.
It doesn't matter.
Dakota Fanning. Oh, yeah, because she's like
she's
six.
Little.
in the early 2000s, this movie, Brittany Murphy, Dakota Fanning, it's about a family in New York and a nanny. It's really quite lovely. And we're nearing the end of the movie. And throughout the movie, I've been like, the transitions are amazing. The music is really good.
There's total elements I didn't know could go together.
It's so much deeper than I realized as a child. And even as a child, I really did love it, though, for different reasons. We're nearing the end.
It's about class.
It's about betrayal.
It's about sisterhood. It's about family.
And we're getting to the end of the movie, and I think I might misquote her. Maddie says, I think you said something like, forget Barbie, or like, fuck Barbie. This is a woman empowerment film.
I just can't even...
We don't have time to
talk about the Barbie movie, but... Because I don't ever want to think about it or talk about it ever again. And last summer was the worst small talk summer of society.
Bad summer to be single in LA. I'll tell you that much. That
it's never a good summer to be single in LA.
True.
In my O.
Yeah, it's a really great... I mean, I can't recommend it enough. And I know it sounds so obvious because, like, we all love Uptown Girls. But if you have not rewatched it in the past 5 years, you should watch it. And fuck Barbie for so many reasons. Like,
Yeah.
Thank you so much
for listening to the pod.
We'll see you same time next year.
Yeah. Have a great year. Stay safe.